outside on the balcony having a smoke. There was no unmistakable sound of a male peeing or the flush of the chain, no draft from an open door or traffic noise as London went about its business, not even the unmistakable waft of, what were they? Ah yes, she remembered now, picturing the red, white and black packet he'd pulled from the pocket of his faded jeans. Marlboro. The hit of disappointment took her by surprise, but in some ways it should have been familiar, because after all, that's what blokes did. They let you down, ran out on you, lied, cheated, pissed all over your bathroom floor, and drank the last of your milk before staggering off into the sunset. Or, in this case, the early hours of a misty Chelsea morning. Her list of poor choices and regrets was huge, but in this case, he'd been honest, a good guy, who told her he had to leave early, catch another flight to another city. I have to leave in the morning, so if you're sleeping, I won't wake you. Now close your eyes and dream good dreams. You'll be okay, kid. You just need to straighten yourself out and keep away from the booze and the pills and guys like me. Will you promise me you'll try? The stuff that flowed through her veins must have had her in its grip, and she was fading in and out, like someone messing with a dimmer switch inside her head. Back on again, and he was stroking her forehead as he spoke, brushing away strands of hair, and she could still feel his fingers on her skin. And even though she'd willed her eyes to stay open, to make the moment last, the drink and whatever was in the pills she'd taken forbade it. So instead, she'd nodded, agreed. And there was something else, something he'd done, but she couldn't grasp it, or the whispers of words that floated somewhere on the edge of her memory. Stars, a compass, maybe. No, that wasn't it. Then she heard the radio, a song. Or was it humming? Did he sing to her? But it was fading away again. Keeping her eyes firmly closed, the black canvas of her lids provided the perfect backdrop to the dregs of memories from the previous night. She was determined to remember. They came and went like stolen glimpses from behind a veil, some in multicolour glory, while others were murky grey and blurred around the edges, like a contact sheet of overexposed images, out of focus and destined for the bin. The evening, her snapshot recollection of it, began at a party, somewhere in Berkshire, a huge event for charity. She didn't want to go, but her agent, Marvin, had talked the talk and persuaded her it was a good gig, easy money, and she'd have fun if she made the effort. He was wrong. She'd already had far too much, even before she'd glided past a bank of photographers whose cameras flashed as she headed inside the stately home on the arm of a Britpop idol. They were the new golden couple. Their agents were loving it. She thought he was a pillock, so refused to smile for the birdie and told each photographer to get fucked, but only in her head. The only reason she'd turned up was because if she stayed in her hotel room, she'd have gone mad, overthinking and raging against the world and her mother. So, she'd worn the beautiful silver Armani dress and ridiculous shoes that her agent had couriered over, slapped on some makeup, then wiped it all off again, scraped back her white blonde hair into a ponytail, preferring the tortured, gaunt, spaced-out alien look she'd perfected. Spotting her reflection in a huge gilt mirror, she congratulated herself on nailing it, capitalising on being off her face to a T. And no matter how badass she behaved, she would get away with it. She always did, because the Paps loved the moody mayor persona, the middle finger salute that would end up on the front page of The Sun. It was her trademark reaction, and her face was one that was recognised on magazine covers all over the world, only on this occasion, the expression was for real, not for sale. The glare from ice-blue eyes belied the white-hot fire that raged in her soul, anger reflected by the set of her jaw, which was making her face ache as she sucked in her temper, holding back the demons that prowled inside. She knew they would escape eventually. Just a matter of time. And she would pay for it the following morning when she had her head stuck down the toilet and Marvin called and told her to curb it. Again. While her date waved and postured, she looked straight ahead and cringed when she spotted the reporter from a celebrity magazine who had walked in and was on her way over. In an attempt to smother her irritation at having a microphone shoved in her face, never mind the banal question the eager woman posed, she ground her teeth so hard she could feel a vein pounding in her temple. She needed a drink so badly. At functions like these, no.